Board meeting 2:26.
You want what?
Did I get it?
Yeah, you got it.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and call our meeting to order. I don't think this mic is live, Naomi.
All right. Testing.
All right, we're going to go ahead and call our board meeting to order at 5:32. In accordance with board policy, this announcement is to advise all attendees tonight's board meeting is being recorded. A board member intends to record the meeting independently. Any persons wishing to address the board on any agenda or non-agenda-sized item must fill out a speaker card. And if you are here visiting us this evening, if you wouldn't mind moving your cell phone to vibrate or silent, we would greatly appreciate that. If you do have to take a call, please step outside. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Joe, would you like to lead us?
Certainly. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, board, before you have an agenda, is there a motion to adopt?
I'll move.
Motion second. By Jim, second by Karen. Please vote.
Joe doesn't turn on.
Okay,
we can
wait a second. Is that an aye, Jill?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. All right. We do have a report out of closed session. It was moved by Jim Miller, seconded by Jill Bartow, to approve the settlement agreement on case OAH number 2108, and it was approved by a 5-0 vote. And that moves us to a need for a moment of silence. It's with heavy hearts that we share the news that Magnolia kindergarten teacher Megan Espinoza passed away unexpectedly on January 28, 2019, due to complications that arose during a routine surgery. She worked at Magnolia for 6 years and will be greatly missed by her colleagues and family. If we could please take a moment in remembrance of Megan. Thank you very much. Michelle, do we have any retirements this evening?
We do. We have one certificate of retirement. Cynthia Hopkins, a fifth grade teacher at Meridian, is retiring effective March 31st. And she has been working with the district for 32 and a half years.
Wow. Please extend our thanks as well as our congratulations. Mm-hmm. All right, that brings us to presentation board bylaw 9324. Trustee Bartow requested that this be added to the agenda. Jill.
I don't have a computer now, but I can kind of go through it. As I'm hoping that we would come to consensus and put it on the agenda for the first and second meeting with the changes of retaining the tapes for our possible use in the future for 3 years, and then possibly putting them online for 1 year. The 3 years is because of statute of limitations. If something were to come up a year, 6 months later, we only keep them for 30 days. And if something were to come up, we have no evidence that that's not what we said. If somebody were to edit a tape or something. And then also, I think it is accountability to the taxpayers to have information available to them as other districts have. A lot of neighboring districts either do them online or they keep their tapes and they will actually email the tapes to you. So it's just putting our, I understand the policies, most districts have 30 days, but most districts also keep them for years. on the line, even though that policy is there. It's a minimum of 30 days. I think for accountability and transparency, I think that's really important that we have that access to our community.
So you will find attached all of the other districts and neighboring districts in San Diego County. And it does look like the ones that record keep it on 30 days, with the exception only of Vista and San Diego Unified. And then you can see also that there are a lot of districts that don't record, simply because minutes are always available. Those live on in perpetuity. My concern right now is that we don't have the technology, and so I would ask for John or somebody to come back to us with what will that cost, those types of upgrades. Right now we have a little digital recorder that doesn't have the capability. So, and what we're recording now is picking up background sound, and it's not tied into our mics at all. That would be my request, is that Jonathan bring that back before we adopt anything like this. We know what type of expense we're talking about. Anybody else have any comments?
I like Jill's idea, but I do agree that we should figure out what the cost and the technology requirement will be.
Well, for right now, I would still like to bring it forward, at least have the option. I know it's not very good technology right now, and we can look at that, but for right now, I think we still need to have it accessible more than 30 days. I actually sent emails requesting in November and December for the tapes to be available. Was not able to make it in. I asked them not to be destroyed. At the last meeting, Paul brought up that he also did a Freedom of Information Act, and those tapes were destroyed before that was given to him. So I just want to make sure that we have them accessible, you know, for us to come in or come in and record them ourselves. I know it's being done now by another outside person.
We've got recordings from him and you.
Yeah, but that's not their responsibility. That's not my responsibility. That should be the district's responsibility, to be able to have accessible tapes that are recorded available to the public, whether it's great quality or not for now. Then we can look at the future if we need to update. I know there's systems out there that are very affordable.
But I'm kind of trying to understand too, why is there an issue that's come up that isn't being accountable? Because the minutes reflect what we have discussed.
Yeah. Right, and how we vote.
And how we vote. And so and before we continue to go forward, I'm just wondering what's the best route. There is, a lot of options that we can look at, but what's the immediacy? And I understand you have requested different things, but what was the reasoning behind, so we can have
Well, in the November meeting, November-December meeting, I don't have the dates on my computer app, it was discussed that I was not able to get answers to questions on the agenda item, and David made it very clear that Joe would have to approve me to get items approved to get answers to questions on agenda items. I'm sorry, I'm a board member. If I have questions on agenda items, those need to be answered. It should not be up to the board president at the time. It should just be, if it's easy to get it, I understand if it's difficult, but these were easy questions. So that was said in public hearing. It was not noted in the board minutes. I asked for a copy of the tape. I did not get a copy.
Asked within 30 days or past 30 days?
Yes, I did. And then on the second meeting in December, or maybe December, January, I don't have my computer up, I'm sorry. I was requested that meeting again because some comments were made in that meeting also. And I wanted a copy of the tape for record. And I was not given that copy. It was destroyed before I could get in and listen to it. Even though I requested an email, it not to be destroyed.
Well, yeah, Paul also 30 days.
Paul also requested, I think we all got a copy of his request, that he requested it within the 30 days for the December meeting. If not the November meeting, also, I'm not clear on that, I don't have it.
And
that was destroyed.
Well, and I think there's some terms here that kind of are rubbing me a little bit, but tapes being destroyed is really a strong statement to me. I don't know, from what I understand, I've only been on the board 2 years, but my understanding is that they have a purpose. The tapes are not for overall, for us to record for purposes of accountability and whatnot. Not that it's not for accountability, but it is for us to have, for Naomi to make sure that the minutes are appropriate and everything has been recorded for her. And so for us to be able then to say, yes, we agreed to what was on the minutes. And if we all have consented to the minutes prior, I struggle with some of that strong language that they're being destroyed, that it's blatant, and I don't see that necessarily. I understand you're frustrated with a request, and so trying to understand why, and coming to that place. Okay. So,
but when I make a request, when an outside person makes a request, no matter who it is, and they ask for a tape or an item not to be destroyed, not available for the public, if that's a better term for you. It was no longer accessible for the public, the tape was erased. If that's a better word for you.
And I'm wondering though, is it that these tapes are for public, or are they for the actual minutes to be done? Let's look at what is the purpose of these tapes?
All public meetings must be tape recorded.
Right. Okay.
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
So look, I'm gonna try to bottom line this so we can move forward. If you don't mind, everybody. One, I agree with Jill's premise. Two, I think that we should request of staff an estimate for the cost to appropriately record, document, and archive the meetings. If we can get that done, then Jill's request and the reading into our bylaws are very appropriate, and I'm going to be supportive of them. So I don't know if a reading is needed today or action is needed today other than to instruct staff.
There's no action, and you can see several districts do not have any audio recordings. So it's not a requirement.
A lot of them also do video recording, so it's
and there's several that don't do either.
And
we've
discussed that in here, and that also being part of like having Greenfield or somebody with the green screen and having the kids be a part of the intern, you know. But that is, I don't discredit saying that there is not a reason for having recordings. But what I'm trying to understand is these recordings were not for that purpose. From what I understand, because they're not catching everything in this.
They're not.
They're catching what's right here, and it doesn't really take on everything.
I do want to say, I want to thank whoever put the survey together so we could see what the other districts were doing.
Yeah, it was really important.
Because honestly, my impression of what other districts did was misplaced based upon I would assume to be poor information. Now that I know that the other districts, frankly, by and large, do exactly what we do,
exactly.
if not less, other than San Diego Unified, that doesn't change my position that we should do more.
No, yeah.
But at least it gives me a little bit of a better comfort zone that we're not doing something that's inappropriate, not to mention, again, it predates my time on this board as well. But let's move forward.
Yeah.
Let's get staff on board, and let's fix it so that the public has better access. That's what we should do.
All right. So would it be a recommendation to the staff that until we can figure all this out, that we do not erase tapes?
No.
That's not before the board.
No, it's not before the board, and my recommendation is that we stick with our board bylaw that we all voted on in February of 2017.
Okay.
And so until we can change that, then we'll change our methodology.
Okay, well, I would like to make the motion that we
There's no motion. This is not an action item.
Well, then I would like to have it put on the next agenda for an action item.
We will bring it back with some discussion about what it's going to cost.
At the next board meeting?
At the next board meeting. We'll ask for Jonathan to please get us back some information before our next board meeting on what the cost and the effects of that will be.
And with possibly a first reading, I would hope.
Okay, moving on. Public participation. I have one card from Miriam Rafferty.
Miriam Raftery, the editor of East County Magazine. A school board should set an example for students.
There's a button on the back of it, but we can hear you. But if you want to turn it on, there's a button on the back of it.
Yeah, I'd like to know. I want my time to start over with.
That's fine, fine.
Thank you.
Naomi, can you restart the time, please?
Okay. I'm Miriam Raftery, editor of East County Magazine, and I'm glad to hear that you're considering changing the policies. The school board ought to set an example for students for courtesy and consideration, transparency, and following the law. Now, we've consulted with Terry Frank, who's the general counsel for Californians Aware, which enforces these kind of laws and sues public agencies as successful. And he's made it very clear to us, he is in the process of drafting a demand letter asking the district to cease and desist the destruction of tapes. The district, which as you know, has happened at least twice now when timely requests were put in. Our reporter asked for one day after the meeting, well within the 30-day limit, but it was still destroyed without him being allowed access to that. Once a records request is put in, even if it's on the 29th day, the last second, you're supposed to provide it. That said, in my 30 years or more as a reporter, I've never once had a public board refuse to provide a copy to me of a recording of a public meeting, period, nor anybody who could destroy the tapes that quickly. Maybe there are some, but it hasn't happened to us. We're also told you wouldn't even allow people who are going to listen take notes of recordings on pen and paper. Why wouldn't you want them to make accurate records of what's said? The 30-day law itself was written back when we had reel-to-reel tapes that were bulky to store. There's simply no reason with digital not to put them online. I have a radio show. I have 5 years of radio shows that I put online at a cost of $15 a month. So cost isn't an issue. The time to load them is a couple of minutes a show. That's not an issue. So unless you have something to hide or you just don't want the public to know, why wouldn't you do that? You know, as far as minutes, they're nice, but I know from many meetings I've attended that there's a lot of stuff that doesn't get into the minutes. Not only information, but also it doesn't convey the tone of voice. Was a speaker angry? You know, those are things that the public has a right to know about. Now, the district's done a lot of good things, and we'd love to be able to report on those, and we have some of it, like your technology award that you just won nationally. Congratulations. But when the public raises questions about concerns about schools, some of them that maybe aren't meeting the state standards, or a board member raises concerns about not being provided information about agenda items or being told she needs permission, those are things the public have a right to know, and you simply don't have a right to deny a tape. If you're making tapes, they are a public record, and they must be made accessible to the public. Whether you do it longer than 30 days is up to you, but I see no reason not to. So, in short, I just think that I would urge you to create a policy that sets a good example for the kids out there in the district of being open and transparent so that anybody who wants to know what the school board is doing, what happened, you know, can do that. So every parent, voter, taxpayer, and member of the media can access their legal rights. Okay. Thank you.
That's the only speaker card I have this evening.
May I interject for the record? I did reach out to Mr. Cruz and Mrs. Bartow several times to come in and listen, and they did report I received no response, so just for the record.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Employee Association Report, Cajon Valley Ed Foundation. Excuse me, Cajon Valley Education Association. We're sitting next to each other.
Hello.
Sorry, Chris.
No problem. Just wanted to start with thank you from the association, specifically from the staff at Montgomery Middle School, to the efforts of different district staff upon conversations between the association about concerns that staff had on issues with some challenging behaviors going on, and the quick and detailed response from the district was much appreciated by the staff. It completely changed their entire attitude and some of the projected fixes moving forward have changed the whole attitude, and we look forward to continuing to work with the district. I'm on a bargaining listening tour of the district right now. What do you guys want? We're bargaining. And it's interesting, this year is very different, in that the one thing they're talking about is, can we please get more help in the classroom with especially our special needs students and the impact that they have? And we know with barely 3% unemployment that these positions are very difficult to fill. I'm trying to get my son to apply, by the way. And so I know you're doing very, very creative things, not only with our CECAs, and usually I don't talk about another job classification, but they really have a great impact in our classrooms and do incredible work. And anything that you can do to get more of them is very much appreciated. I thought you might want to know also that we get approached a lot by people towards the end of their career. Says, thinking about retiring, Chris, when should I let the district know? And I go, you just had somebody said they were retiring in March. I go, really, that's up to you. Now, you do have some mitigating circumstances. That site, to be able to fill your position,
yeah,
courtesy, kind of needs to know. However, in my tenure as president, I've had multiple occasions where the retiring teacher's spouse, who was going to be the primary breadwinner, had something horrific happen to them. They had already put their paperwork in, and you can't take it back once you put it in. And so we tell them it's really up to you, and gosh, why aren't those people telling anybody? It's kind of a 50-50, so I always thought it would be, I was thinking about that today because I was asked that at Greenfield. I said, I'm going to share that with the board. This is also non-reelect time. That March 15th date that I know you're very aware. You have a lot of stress, probationary twos,
yeah,
and probe ones. And I want you to know that we give them an entire packet of their advice, their rights under California Ed Code, their ability to access unemployment. And that's really a choice that they make, whether to retire or let the district to be non-reelected. And that we've worked diligently with the district over time to, even though we know Ed Code does not provide a right to look at the cause, that you don't really need to provide one, the district administrators have been very thoughtful in having conversations when we think maybe it could have been handled better, maybe better communication. I always like to say if all of us could communicate, I wouldn't have a job. And finally, I want to thank you again for the job you do. I was at a school board dinner last night for the entire Imperial County, room full of school board members, and I had to remind them that I sat on the school board when I was a student at Grossmont. I have to bring that up occasionally. And I know what you do. And just want to say that we may disagree, lots of people, but it doesn't diminish our thanks for taking.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. And Chris, by the way, when I was at CSBA, I went to two of the different breakout sessions that talked about various ideas about teachers and CECAs in the classroom on special ed. So whether maybe you and I can get on a calendar for lunch or something.
Sure.
Yeah. Great. Mark, CSEA update.
I always have something to say.
We love it.
Vicky's quiet. Mm-hmm.
So I have a couple things, one sure. Good, maybe one not so good. So first I'd like to talk about our ACE program we had this last Friday and what a great success that was. In negotiations one day, Scott is the person who put that bug in my ear. He said, hey, whatever happened to the shadowing program? So I reached out, applied, we won, and it's kind of a big deal to win. There's in 810 school districts, they only picked one for north, one for south. So we won the southern one. And for David to continue in it, what a vision that is, because for you guys as administrative to step out and see what our classified people do, it's invaluable. I mean, when we had our debrief session, Brian, he's the epitome of this, Brian Hanley.
Yeah.
you know, he came up and said, "Oh, I have seekers in my class, in my school, but I really don't know, you know, what they do." She shadowed the seeker, and he was amazed. He was blown away at the amount of work they do. So for the administration to come out of their comfort zone and shadow our people, it's just a blessing. I really applaud this program, and I hope it continues greatly. So the other thing I have a few things on my mind I wanted to read. I had to put it on paper because otherwise I'd get on my soapbox and I'd go on and on and on forever. So in my opinion, as board members, you guys are elected to oversee the spending of tax dollars, right? So it's not a platform for your political agendas. It's not a platform for your personal gains. And it's not a platform for your personal agendas. Again, your charge is taxpayer dollars for the betterment of our children. Also, in my opinion, as board members, you need to have a united front in public. The place for disagreement is in closed session or cabinet. You guys can always argue, discuss, whatever, but when you're in public, you should create a united front. It just is better. If you disagree with the people on the board, because we all disagree, I have an e-board and we disagree all the time, you have that right to vote no. That's your record. That's vote no if you disagree with anything. It's also my opinion that this district is on the cutting edge of changing education. We're leading the nation in the thought process that we are developing with socioeconomic, socio-emotional, world of work. You know, and as board members, you guys all voted for that, right? This district does nothing without the approval of the board who governs our tax dollars. Mm-hmm. The dashboard, okay, that's something the state comes up to issue us money. How can you compare apples to oranges? We're teaching unconventionally, right? So they're holding that dashboard to a conventional way of teaching. There's no way that we're going to find out. Only time and success of our students going through our programs are going to be able to know the success of our program. And again, you guys all voted for these changes. So this is what really pissed me off. For a board member who's elected to oversee the well-being of Cajon Valley to take our district and run it through the frickin' mud in public is appalling to me. To spew poison to a crappy news article, it's just a slap in the face to all of our hardworking men and women of this district. We come to work, we give our all to these kids, and it's just when I read this article, I was livid. This is, let me stick my script because I don't want to get off this. Even a dog won't crap where he eats, right? So I don't understand why we're dragging this district through the mud when you people voted for the programs we're doing. You guys voted. You all had the opportunity to say no, but yet we're going to go run this district through the mud. I mean, I have members calling me, asking me, what the hell's going on with these board meeting minutes? You know, our minutes aren't a secret. This is a transparent district. Our minutes are on our website. They're all anywhere and everywhere. You can go back years on our website and look at board minutes. So they're reading. Well, what do you mean this person isn't paying their medical bills? How fair is that? What if I don't pay mine? Do I get kicked off? You know, those are questions that I'm fielding because of this nonsense. I'm absolutely disgusted with behavior. As an elected official trusted to oversee this district in the well-being of our kids and not degrade it in public is counterproductive. It's absolutely counterproductive. Jill, you're no friend of labor. I'm letting you know that. So right now, you will no longer be backed by CSCA.
That's fine.
And you will no longer be allowed to attend any of my CSCA functions.
I would love to meet with you.
We're past that point.
This has to be in public session because we cannot do it in closed session because of the brownout.
You can argue all you want in closed session.
But that's the real... No, we can't.
You're voting. We'll take care.
We cannot vote
anyway,
in closed session.
Anyway, thank you for your time. I'm done. Sorry this had to go after something so wonderful as our shadowing program.
Thank you, Mark.
Held accountable. That's what I have to do.
Okay, before we approve the consent agenda, I would like to point out that we have two rows of fabulous high school students here. I hear they're from Valhalla.
That's all. Right here.
There's a few in the house that are also Norsemen. And then a few of us are Eagles, but we're still really happy you're here. Thank you for being here, ladies. If you have any questions afterwards, we're happy to answer them. And if you need to leave during the meeting, we totally understand. It's a school night. Thank you very much. All right, board, you have a consent agenda before you to approve. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Jill. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Joe. Please vote. Motion carries 5-0. That brings us to action item 11A, to approve the travel and conference. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Joe. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Karen. Please vote. Slow. Motion carries 5-0. Board, this brings us to the second reading of the adoption of Board Policy 6178, the Career Technical Education Language. As per your request at our last meeting, it was requested that we bring it back for a second reading. Are there any questions to this item?
Has there been any, David or Ed, has there been any community questions or anything about this?
No, very lot of enthusiasm.
Good. I'd like to motion to approve.
Motion by Jill. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Jim. Please vote. Motion carries 5-0. That brings us to item C, the second reading adoption of Board Policy 6178.1. Again, same situation. Are there any questions to this item?
Motion.
All right, hearing none, there's a motion by Karen and a second by Jim.
And again, no
questions. Please vote. All right, motion carries 5-0. Item D is the second reading of the adoption Board Policy and Administrative Regulation 6143, Areas of Study. Again, same situation. Are there any questions?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Jill. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Joe. Please vote. Motion carries 5-0. That brings us to item E, to approve the intent to apply for the low performing grant opportunity. I'm assuming you've all read through this. Are there any questions to this item?
I have a couple that I'll meet. I'm not going to hold up the vote. I can meet with Karen about it later.
Okay.
I just had a couple questions about
clarifications.
Yeah, just clarifications. Want to know a little bit more.
All right, thank
you.
But
I'm not going to hold up the vote, so I'll motion to approve.
All right, thank you, Jill. There's a motion by Jill. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by all three. Let's call it Karen. Second by Karen. Please vote. Motion carries 5-0. That brings us to item F, to approve the consolidated categorical aid programs for spring 2018-19. Are there any questions to this? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Karen. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Jill. Please vote. Motion carries 5-0. Item G is to approve La Maestra Community Health Centers. Are there any questions to this item?
The only question is just for clarification, if the staff knows it, I'll get later. This is all positive parental consent. Parents are have to sign off that this is being done.
Yes.
Okay, I thought so. I just wanted to double check.
All right, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Motion by Jill, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Jim. Please vote. Motion carries 5-0. That brings us to item H, to approve the architectural services for the Greenfield sidewalk replacement. Any questions?
No.
Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
I'll move.
Motion by Jim. Is there a second? Second by Joe. Please vote. Motion carries 5-0. Item I is to approve the inspection services for the Hillsdale Middle School field lighting project. Jim, are we ever going to be able to turn these darn things on?
It's a matter of time. I'm excited about it, though.
I know you are. We are, too. Thank you. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll be moving.
Yep. Motion by Jim and a second by Karen. I love it when a board member has a pet project that benefits all of our students. Thank you very much for that.
And our community.
Please vote.
Yes. A long time coming.
Montgomery's next.
Motion carries 5-0. Item J is to approve the architectural services for Blossom Valley Lunch Center. Are there any, shelter rather, are there any questions about this item? Hearing none, I will motion. Thank you, Jill. About 100 years ago, we built that. And it apparently needs to be expanded and redone. It seems like my 28-year-old should be eating lunch under there right now. All right, I motioned. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it. Thank you, Jill. Second by Jill. Please vote. Looking out in the audience to see who would remember it, and Karen, of course, would. Yeah. Motion carries 5-0. And that brings us to item K, to award the network switching equipment and services under the E-rate. Are there any questions regarding this item?
Motion to approve.
No questions. There's a motion on the table by Jill. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Joe. Hearing no questions, please vote. Motion carries 5-0. Under discussed future agenda items, other than the one that was already brought forward by Trustee Bartow at the beginning of the meeting, are there any other future agenda items?
Other than at some point, I want to still continue to focus on the ability to have a day in American history concept at the beginning of each school day. So I think at some point, how we fashion that, obviously, it has to become an agenda item at some point, I believe. But I'd like to have some sort of a meeting with staff on how to best address making that happen.
The agenda item you just passed in areas of study actually allows you to
yep.
do that.
Right, and I saw that. Trust me.
So the next Maybe step is really looking holistically at, Karen just attended the new social studies history framework meeting at her last conference. So not for tonight, but I'd love for Karen to do an update and have a conversation about her vision and the vision that our middle school principals have had around integration of coursework.
No, great. Thanks. Thank you for that. Thank you, Karen.
All right. That brings us to board reports. I'll start on this end tonight. Joe, would you like to go first?
Sure. On Friday, as Mark mentioned, we had the opportunity to follow our classified employees. So I had the opportunity to follow Kristen Pascal at Magnolia. She supports students in reading and in math. It was a tremendous time that I spent with her, and I very much appreciated that. I also attended the ACE lunch that followed our opportunity to shadow. And after that, I ran off to LCC in regards to the planning visit for our visit to Ronald McDonald House with Montgomery Middle School. So hopefully we can work out some transportation around that. Also, I was invited by Cajon Valley Middle School to their basketball game, in which they actually played against Emerald. So I had a little bit of a loyalty issue there. But nevertheless, I went and I didn't cheer.
You didn't cheer?
I toured Montgomery Middle School with a parent just to kind of show her some highlights, making a decision. I also went to the Greenfield Community Safety presentation, spearheaded by Jim and David, so thank you for that. I very much appreciate that also. And then my school, my SCAC meeting. I'm looking forward to finalizing the details for the Ronald McDonald House planning with the two middle schools. We're working on organizing a world of work with Summer's Past out on Blossom Valley. I'm meeting with Kristen next month in regards to just some direction that she'd like to see. And I'm also working on strengthening the PTA at Meridian with some parents that are hopefully going to be encouraged to kind of begin a stronger PTA there.
Awesome. You have been busy. Thank you. Jim.
I had the opportunity to, the plan was for me to moderate again the safety meeting over Greenfield. It was unfortunate that we didn't have a large turnout at that particular school, as staff knows. It caused me some reflection, and I made comment to this, about the parental aspect and the community of the school. So I'd like to start looking into that a little bit. I need to go and tour Greenfield again personally. Because other than the educational component itself, the safety of these kids should be paramount. And to have only the handful of parents show up, that's somewhat concerning when we're out there saying, hey, here's the opportunity. Come and ask us questions. Come and ask Up and Home PD questions. Come and ask the sheriff's questions. I want to thank the board for showing up. It was very, very important. Ms. Rafferty, could you please, would you please not interrupt the meeting now? You have the opportunity afterwards to discuss anything you'd like to do so. So that's a concern. I want to make sure that we get a chance to go back to Greenfield. Echoing on my bent on history, and I started to make this part of my board report. So past week, this date in history, so to speak, Miracle on Ice, everybody in the audience, Valhalla students, you know what Miracle on Ice is? No. I'm not going to say Disney on it. Miracle on Ice, the United States men's hockey team in the Olympics beat the Soviet Union. And then they went on to win the gold medal after that. Everybody thinks, a lot of people think it's a gold medal game. It wasn't. It was a semifinal game.
A nice movie.
It's
a
great movie.
Amazing. Within the past week, this week in history, the raising of the flag on Mount Suribachi, Iwo Jima. 120,000 U.S. Marines landed on Iwo Jima against 20,000 entrenched Japanese forces. Unbelievable.
My grandfather was one of the first friends of Dennis on Iwo Jima.
Wow, I can only imagine what he found. 1993. The first attempt by Muslim terrorists to take down the World Trade Center. There's a lot of things about our history that we need to not forget and that our students need to learn sooner rather than later. looking forward to all the things that this board continues to do. I want to thank everybody for the comments today, and understand that, you know, there are things that we have to air in public. That's part of the Brown Act. At the same point in time, I do appreciate a united front, because I think this board works very well together. It's not perfect, but we work very well together. I've seen a lot of boards don't work well together. And we're all pushing towards the same thing, just maybe in different directions to get to the same point. And there's nothing wrong with that. So thank you.
All right, Karen. I also got to participate in the ACES, so thank you again. I actually got to sit in with the lunch ladies over at Cajon Valley Middle, and they just welcomed me, and I got to participate. Beth kind of showed me around, helped me to kind of understand, but I was really impressed with how important these ladies are to our students, because there were a couple of students that had detention, and so their lunches got sent to the detention, but they were still very kind and firm. They modeled that to the student. These students will come back, I was told, time after time, even if they get in trouble in the same line, they come back to that person because they have a bond. And so these are really people that are in the trenches, so thank you for letting me participate in that, Mark.
Okay, thank you, Karen. Jill.
Didn't have a chance to do Shadow Day. Would really like to make that up whenever that can happen. I was actually up in Sacramento all weekend at the conference, so I wasn't sorry I wasn't able to make that. Had the chance this afternoon to go to the San Diego River Park Foundation open house. It was here last board meeting. They're doing a phenomenal job, and they're going to send me some slides of some of the things that they were presenting, and I will forward those on. If anybody in the staff would ever like to have conversations with me, just call me. My phone number is public. Love to entertain conversations, because it's hard as a board member, and as Jim said, it's hard to be able to do things in public and in private. So I would love to have any conversations. No one's perfect, but I'm willing to have those talk conversations. I do love this district. This district has been on my heart for years. And I'm willing to talk to anyone that would like to have that conversation, Mark. I would love to talk to you. And we may be able to disagree, but I still would like to have that conversation with you and hear you out, and I hope that you would hear me out. So hopefully that can happen. Had a great middle school tour or went to Montgomery Middle School for a little bit, and it's always great to see what they're doing positive there, and then the staff working so hard to create such a safe environment for our students when it's tough. It is tough at our middle schools. Every year I think it gets tougher because our kids get tougher. But to have staff just take on those concerns and address them, I'm just very appreciative. And I know we do that in all of our schools. But Montgomery was spoken about tonight, so I thought I'd bring that up. And then I'm going to be planning on going to, I'm going to just slaughter the name, I'm sorry, I didn't write it down. So, Sophie's story this week. There's a couple different ones I'm going to go do. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to see how that plays out and to see what they're presenting to our students. I think that'll be exciting. Mm-hmm. So, that's it.
All right, thank you. We are on a roll with TEDx, and it is quickly approaching, and Cindy's doing a great job organizing all of us and keeping us all on the same pages. I won't say page because there's multiple layers to it, but it is coming up quicker than you realize, so we're getting there. David and I did a school visit to Vista Grande, and it was kind of a double blessing because LCC students came to Vista Grande and performed their band and their choir and their dance. Jamie was cues a button, waving big arms at us, and for their fifth graders. So we're super excited. A lot of those kids, they're not exactly ready for Hillsdale. It's a big school, and so this may be another opportunity for them. Anyway, it was really fun to see LCC there, and of course, Mr. Gergens, when he takes the mic, everybody sits up and listens and falls in love with him again and again.
Ace Day, I was with the child nutrition lead, Karina, at Fuerte. I didn't get to go to the lunch. I had another meeting after that. But I felt the same way as Karen. I love, when my kids were at Blossom Valley, the lunch lady was so cool. If my kids forgot their money, you know, she'd give me a quick phone call. And Karina was like all about making sure that the littles who eat lunch last got the PB&Js, so she set aside a bunch of them in case they would run out. And I love that. It's like, okay, well, these first graders need to have a choice. So fifth graders just can't have all the PB&Js. Anyway, it was super cool. And Jim, thank you again for moderating community town hall meeting at Greenfield. The turnout was extremely disappointing, but it goes back to the old saying, if you made a difference for five people, was it worth it? Absolutely, it was worth it. So thank you for doing that. Really, really appreciate your professionalism and your efforts to be there and to show up and to represent all of us. So you do a fabulous job. I will be going to Blossom Valley on March 25th, and I am the Meet a Pro.
Yay!
So their first graders are studying about floral design, and so they asked me to come in and do a demonstration. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Anyway, and then on a much sadder note, David and I both attended, along with several others from the community, the Magnolia community. We attended the funeral for Megan Espinoza. It was a celebration of her life, but the thing that I took away from that graveside service, as well as the little luncheon afterwards, was that once again it represented that we are a family. And there were past principals that were there that had been principals at Magnolia, as well as current. There were principals there that had never been a principal at Magnolia, but they were there to support the current principal at Magnolia. There was staff there from that had been staff and no longer were. There were staff there that was beginning to retire. And it was just so evident that we are, our employees are a family, and we work together, and we support each other, and we love each other, and it was very, very evident. It was a very, very difficult funeral, two little boys. I do have a memorial if anybody would like to look at it. But unfortunately, I'll end on that sad note, and I will hand it over to Dr. Mia Shiro.
Yeah, the ceremony and celebration was probably the most difficult I've attended to date.
Yeah.
On family. But thank you for being there. And then recognized Amanda and Sarah for their leadership at our principal council. And in tears, they both shared thanks to across the district. You know, the kindergarten team at Chase sent money and flowers. They're all around the community,
yeah,
from all the schools, there was messages of love and support. And it was a really emotional time in our school's council. I'm going to ask Karen to share a little bit about her experience at CISC, which is the California Curriculum Conference, following her experience at NCDC and the difference, and maybe how. And then after that, Ed, if you'll share a little bit about our special guest from Brookings, as well as the connection that you made from the Learn It from London.
Yes, sir.
Karen?
Thank you. For CISC, it's the California organization they meet annually for curriculum and instructional leaders. Karen Sapper, Bethany, and I went. David asked me, how was it? I go, it was pretty good. The sessions I attended were, I wanted an update on the history, framework, standards, where are we going, the curriculum, so I have the historical piece of that, as we look at middle school and what does this mean with history, humanities, English, blocks, time, all these things we're kind of contemplating about serving students better. It was informative, and I got the answers that I've been waiting for. There's a lot of confusion around history and why it's in a stall for so many years from the state level. So I'll be sharing that out. But it was informative for where we're going and next steps. And Jim, what you were referencing about day of. And David said, well, then we attended another session that I was excited about. It was kind of an MTSS. It was administrators from Fountain Valley High School District, higher socioeconomic level, sharing, putting a name to every student, knowing their story as the basis of their MTSS systems, which was, there were some helpful tips in how they're using people, how they're putting MTSS in place. And it really is, I keep hearing this ideas. Make the room smaller, make the classroom smaller, make the meeting smaller and get more personalized. So they shared some things that were would be helpful. I think MTSS, I've got a lot of talks with Janine, behavior, people go, behavior is a problem. Yes, it is. And it is a very complex system to address behavior. There are things in our control or not, and it's nice to learn from some of these districts. David said, was it exciting? And I said, well, there were things we learned, we pulled pieces. And he goes, where are we when you go to these sessions and breakouts? And I go, we're not the same. It's very different. It's our focus, I think people are more focused on practical, conventional processes. There was nothing like World of Work or any of these. We're very, very different. Compared to NCDC, when if you went there or you had that experience, you're learning the best from the most innovative districts across the country. Mm-hmm. It seems like we're speaking the same language. And when you go to conventional conferences, it feels like we're very different. And but informative to some of the practices that we need, some of the foundational pieces. Yes, that was my take on that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Miyashiro, on the board. I remember not too long ago standing at the podium and sharing an update regarding our trip to London and the hope not just to be able to share the work that we're doing, but also to have the opportunity to create connections with new individuals, researchers, leaders in education around the globe. And shortly thereafter, had the opportunity to receive a request from the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C., asking if we would host a special delegation that would be joining ASU-GSV. Their hope was to visit our schools after learning about the World of Work Initiative and the great work happening in our district. Ms. Rebecca Winthrop, who's a senior fellow and director of the Center for Universal Education at Brookings, has specifically requested if we would host Brian Schroeder, head of department, Western Cape Education Department, South Africa, Minister Matthew Pempe, Minister of Education for Ghana, Juho Lee, Chair of Education Workforce Initiative, former Minister of Education, South Korea, Professor at ADI School of Public Policy and Management, Emiliana Vegas, Division Chief of Education, Inter-American Development Bank, Senator Esteban Bullrich, National Senator, Buenos Aires Province, Argentina, former Minister of Education, Argentina, Miguel Reschner, President Plants Val, Uruguay, Jaime Saavedra, Senior Director and Head of Education Global Practice, World Bank Group, former Minister of Education for Peru. This special delegation is asking through fellows, Ms. Rebecca Pumper, to visit us on April 8th to visit our schools. In addition to that, the Center for Universal Education has invited Dr. Michiro and myself to speak at Building the Workforce of the Future Summit that is being held at Brookings in Washington, D.C. It's an invite-only symposium to be able to share our work.
And how many total countries is that? Do you know, ballpark?
It's like 10, 8 or 10.
So you've garnered the attention of global.
Yes.
Which goes back to Mark's comment about the California school dashboard,
right,
and the metrics being used to measure that versus the metrics that we're doing. We have countries coming to see Cajon Valley. Countries.
And a metrics that has changed often by the whims of whoever happens to sit in Sacramento.
Bingo.
All right. Dr. Miyashiro,
yeah,
anything
so
else?
At the California School Board's President and Superintendent's Advisory Council, which you will be sitting on in 2 years as president, we talked about the dashboard as well, and everyone is just dumbfounded. How are you doing the work you're doing?
Yes.
And it's really, it's all about the school board and this amazing staff. Next week, I'm speaking at South by Southwest on digital transformation and interoperability. And you may not know that only 10% of students in the United States have access to a device for their own learning. And ubiquitous internet access. Only 10%. school districts. And so they're still scratching their heads how you do it. So my presentation is slides of Jonathan, videos of Jonathan speaking. Because he and his team are doing all this amazing work, but I'm excited to share that work. And along the lines of our safety meetings, tomorrow night we have Montgomery Middle School and invited Montgomery staff to be there. And Karen McKee and I just made a short broadcast, which I'll share, to hopefully get more people to come. At our last meeting in Greenfield, the topic of PIO came up again, and I realized I didn't do a very good job of explaining that the funding for that position is restrictive federal title dollars for safety. And I should have done that better in either the board update or in articulating that during the agenda item itself. So I'm requesting if we could bring that item back. 80% of the funding is a restricted federal dollars.
Right.
But there is a 20% ask for the general fund. So I wanted to get your approval to bring that back.
Yeah.
For the next board meeting.
I would
give us a chance to ask some questions in the meantime.
Sure, no, absolutely.
And, you know, maybe not everyone understands Title IV and what it's used for and how it's used, so it'd be good to update the entire board on that.
Yeah, the conversation at Greenfield, and one of the parents brought it up, her kids don't feel safe.
Right.
So we have to do two things. One, ensure that the staff and students are safe. And then two, that their perceived safety, that they feel safe as well.
Right.
And a lot of that has to do with communication, and there's a lot of work needs to do there.
No, yeah, the perception is reality in a lot of situations.
Yeah,
for sure.
And how they obtain and get their information is critical. You know, if you were just to watch the TV every night, news, you're going to be terrified.
Exactly.
Until you look at what the real statistics are, what is really going on, what's going on in the district to protect the kids. And then maybe you just take a step back and say, oh, well, that's not what they're telling us. You know, right now there's a big part of California that wants kids to be scared of an inanimate object. That's completely a false narrative. So we need to get ahead of that.
And then on Friday, following the Greenfield tour, we had staff. This is a lot of the base community staff. You see Ryan left, they're from the left. And then Imam Tata on the right side. And then Chief Davis also came to help talk to the community about safety and that we are accessible and that it's safe to come with concerns.
I like that.
That's a great shot of mine.
It's been great shot of mine.
But we learned this very thoughtfully, that any time that we bring female staff into places of worship, that we dress accordingly.
Sure.
So she's one of our face officers.
Nurse.
Sanders, the face Sandra. Direct
staff.
Our principal Julie and Mike. And then Shameless Selfie at the end.
Yeah.
But it was very well received. I didn't realize that only men would be in the place of worship and that the women were worshiping on the top floor, listening to us, but they were very appreciative. Most of them have kids or friends that have kids in our district, and they said that our outreach is very much appreciated and would love to have an ongoing communication.
Wonderful.
And I'm going to share this message that just went out. We want to send a quick reminder about some important updates and events. Please join us in this short video, Governing Board of Karen Pia, and I describe the upcoming special events. Click on the links for details. And so we just did a one shot. Go at it.
Dr. Seuss, Cat in the Hat. That's exciting. Our school is celebrating Read Across America, and just really thrilled that we get to be part of it.
So cute.
Salute.
It was a good area.
It was, yes. But you have some the places we'll go. What's going to be happening?
Yeah, so come on, Valley family and friends. We have four important invitations to share with you. The first is community safety meeting tomorrow. Tomorrow is the third of six community safety meetings with the theme of how do we make our schools more safe. So we'll be sharing a brief overview of the initiatives that the district has put in place, meeting our coordinator of safety and security, and also local law enforcement, the San Diego Sheriff's Department and Oklahoma Police Department. But then to have a question and answer period, town hall style,
with the community, our staff, and parents, and then to engage in some dialogue about what you see and hear in terms of the best things that we need to do to focus on school safety.
It's exciting. This Saturday we have the annual Expo Day that is really exciting. The San Diego Festival of Science and Engineering is going to be hosting their 11th year of science. There's going to be all kinds of interactive activities, demonstrations, hands-on activities, dynamic speakers, and especially our kids are going to be performing their TEDx presentation literacy on the top of the Padres dugout, which is going to be so exciting. So it's free to everyone this Saturday from, I think it is at the bottom of your screen.
Elkhorn Half Marathon, St. Patrick's Day. And there's a miracle mile for just 1 mile run. There's a 5K and a half marathon. Come out and join Team Cajon Valley School District. You can register online at www.stpatricksdayhalf and come out and join the fun. Starts at about 6 in the morning and runs about all day long.
And you're running, right?
I'm running in the 5K.
In the 5K.
That's about all I can handle.
Well, and another event coming up this week will be our free family event, the STEM in Your Backyard, East County. And it will be this Thursday at Hillsdale Middle School. And it's from 3:30 to 6:30. And just all kinds of science, technology, engineering, and math for students of all ages. There's going to be 3D printing, playing with virtual, reality technology, pets, snakes, and Komodo dragons. I'm a little scared of them. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be lots of prizes and just a really exciting opportunity to participate in STEM in Your Backyard.
Thank you, Karen. And one more reminder, again, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at Montgomery Middle School, we have child care and food provided to make it as easy as possible for parents to come. The important topic is school safety, and it's for any person in the Cajon Valley School District, friends or family, regardless of what school your children go to. And we have 3 more remaining at Cajon Valley Middle School on March 14th, Emerald Middle School on March 21st, and Las Coaches Creek Middle School on March 27th. We hope to see you at all the events, and have a great week.
Happy birthday, officers.
Way to go! I think Karen needs a new job.
Do we have a volunteer for the next broadcast? Next week? And we'll finish on a high note with a 1 minute snapshot of the ACE Day.
Love it.
Today was all about showcasing our classified staff. Everything we do is for the kids.
Our custodian, our librarian, our office managers, our office staff, our special education classroom assistants, our new duty aides, and of course, our EDP.
Much of the time that she spends here is just engaging with kids and loving on them. She treats these kids like they're her own kids, her own family.
Even though Stephanie's title is office manager, it really should be professional multitasker.
Working out here every day with kids and the support of what we do at the site is absolutely amazing and we could not do it without you.
I truly applaud our bus drivers. They are the first faces our students see each day when they start school. They have to love children.
The seekers, really, along with all of our classified staff, are the glue. They're what makes school happen.
They are so critically important to everything we do at school.
They really do their best every single day to serve our students.
And thank you, Mr.
That's awesome. All right, thank you, everyone.
I just want to say thank you to the staff at the last of the Greenfield safety. They had it all planned out, and they were just in a snapshot able to change and really make it personable. So I just want to thank staff and the police for just swinging with it and going with it and having that open dialogue.
All right, we're adjourned. Adjourned.
Adjourned.
We adjourned.
My husband's gone, everybody.
Oh, yeah.